This is the Safety Scouting Report with your host, Scott Cafe. Welcome in, my friends, to the Safety Scouting Report podcast. My name is Scott Cafe. I'm your host here for the next little bit. Safety Scouting Report. As safety professionals, we concern ourselves with the health and safety of other employees. One of the ways we typically do that is by creating toolbox talks for them about things they need to be wary of, things they need to be aware of at a job site or particular workplace. This show is for safety professionals ourselves to go back over things and dig into them a little bit more deeply or just touch on things that we should probably know. This episode, number 4, we're staying with our Hazards 101 theme, and we're going to do occupational noise exposure. So noise, it's one of the most difficult hazards to determine, at least consistently. I mean, you know when there's noise, and today there are a ton of apps that you can download on your phone to give you a general idea. And then if you get into the dB range that you're thinking there might be a hazard, then you can go out and get an actual sound level meter and get a good reading and do some actual testing that you can quantify and look at different things to figure it out. So really, in this safety scouting report, we're going to go over some of the basics, just things that you need to know. Like, what is occupational noise? Noise and vibration, they're fluctuations in the pressure of air or other media that affect the human body, stuff we can hear. Vibrations that are detected by the human ear, that's how we hear things. That's sound. It's the most basic thing. We use the term noise that indicates unwanted sound, really. That's what we're looking at with this stuff. So noise is measured in units of sound pressure levels called decibels. And we typically, from a safety perspective, we're talking about A-weighted sound levels. A-weighted versus B-weighted. A-weighted is trying to closely match the perception of noise and sound by the human ear. Decibels measured by a logarithmic scale. So if you've ever looked at a decibel scale, a typical sound level DBA, you'll notice that going from 0, which is the threshold of hearing on one of these scales, up to about 140, which is where they typically end, which is considered the threshold of pain, as it were, things don't go up in typical increments. It's logarithmic. So you can go from 20 dBA, which is considered a silent room, basically a silent room, and then jump to 30, and you're at the north rim of the Grand Canyon, at least the one I'm looking at right now. From 30 to 40, a soft whisper from 5 feet away. But if you jump up from 40 to, say, 80, which you would typically think would be doubling, you're going from a soft whisper to a freight train from 100 feet away. So that's a big jump, right? So when you look at one of these typical sound level meters or noise charts, it's not going to be the way you typically expect it. And to give you some other ideas of things that I typically use when I'm going through and doing a class and trying to give people examples of sound levels, let me give you a few. One of my favorite bands is Iron Maiden. And if you're at an Iron Maiden concert, you're in it for about 2 hours, and the dBA that you're going to be exposed to is about 124, which if you look at one of those charts, again, about 120 is operating heavy equipment. That makes sense. Motorhead, another of my favorite bands, about 130 dBA when Motorhead existed. Lemmy died a few years ago. That 130 dBA is also akin to a military jet at about 50 feet away with an afterburner running, which is pretty freaking loud, you think about it, right? A metal punch press, for anybody out there that's working in a metal forming or metal fabrication industry, metal punch press, typically around 110 to 120 dBA. A movie theater, you go out to a theater to see a movie, you're going to be exposed to about 75 to 100 dBA, depending on the film. Obviously, if you're going to see a film in the MCU where there are fight scenes and stuff, you're probably toward the upper end of that range. A rocket launch, say a Cape Canaveral, about 200 dBA. That's in general if you're nearby. Obviously, they don't let normal people get very close to that. But a typical conversation, if you and I were sitting here just talking in my studio, that's about 60 dBA. And if you think about it, if you think about the range where OSHA says you need to have a hearing conservation program, which is 85 dBA, or the range where OSHA says, hey, you have to provide some kind of protection, which is 90 dBA, compare that to 60, which is a normal conversation, and you can have a pretty good gauge in your mind. Basically, rule of thumb, if you have to raise your voice to talk to a coworker, there's a chance you may need a hearing conservation program. If you have to yell to communicate with a coworker, yeah, chances are you probably need to be wearing some hearing protection or doing something else. So that's what we're talking about as far as a range, as far as occupational noise exposure. So again, OSHA requires you to implement a hearing conservation program when noise exposure is at or above 85 decibels averaged over 8 working hours or an 8-hour time-weighted average. You'll see that acronym TWA, that's time-weighted average. Hearing conservation programs, and this is pulling straight from the OSHA website, by the way, strive to prevent initial occupational hearing loss, preserve and protect remaining hearing, and equip workers with the knowledge and hearing protection devices necessary to safeguard themselves. So employers have to reduce noise exposure. You can use engineering controls, administrative controls, you can use PPE. Basically, if you want to know the basics of this, 1910.95, just Google 1910.95. That will take you to the OSHA Occupational Noise Exposure Standard. Start at paragraph B1 and table G16. That's basically what you need to know. It's all right there. You do the testing. Now, if you found that you do have, or you're close to needing, a hearing conservation program, it's not hard to put together. You have to do some initial testing. If you find that you do have to provide protection, that's when things get a little bit more serious, because you have to determine what type of protection people need, what type of PPE. You've seen NRR numbers, noise reduction ratings. You have to get into that and determine what level of noise reduction you need. As always, based on the hierarchy of controls, which we've talked about before and we'll talk about in much more depth in a later podcast, PPE is the bottom of the barrel. That's if you can't do anything else, do PPE. So if you want to fix occupational noise exposure, first thing you want to do, block areas with loud noise levels if you can. Blockade them, contain the noise if that means enclosing part of machines. Do that. That's always better if you can get away with it. Using dampeners on machinery to limit noise and vibration. If by putting padding and dampeners at the anchors to the floor or where things join up can reduce that noise exposure, do that instead. Modernize your facilities. Add sound baffles. Most manufacturing facilities have really, really flat areas and everything reflects, which just sends that noise bouncing back around off the walls back at you. If you can dampen that somehow to prevent that, you're going to lower your overall noise problem. PPE, as I said, is a last resort, and always keep testing. And here's something to keep in mind, too. When you test for noise, whether you're using an app on your phone just to see, like, we're around 75 to 80, everything's cool. If you get that 75 to 80 dBA, but it's on a day when you've got a few people out, only half your machines are running, you may want to do your testing again. Because if somebody does come up with hearing loss and they're there on a typical day where you've got all your machines running and they file a complaint with OSHA and a compliance officer comes in, they're going to do testing. And if they're there on a day when everything's running and they come up with 93 as your DBA over an 8-hour time weighted average, guess what? You've just earned some citations because you did some testing, but you didn't do it when you should have, when you knew that all the equipment was running, things like that. So something to be wary of there. Be careful when you test and keep testing, because if you test today and you need a hearing conservation program, you're going to use PPE. But 2 years from now, you've replaced a lot of your machinery and it's quieter. There's no reason to say that you can't go back and say, look, we were averaging about 93. We're down to 78 now. We're good. We're going to kill the program. That's always a wonderful thing if you can do it. But as with everything, document, document, document. So that's the basics for this safety scouting report on occupational noise exposure, things to think about, things to look at, and we'll catch you next time.